I'm Brian Rennick. He's Al Sacco. And joining us today is a man who needs no introduction, but we'll give him one anyway. You know him from the NFL Network. You know him from his Odyssey original podcast, The Best Football Show. And you know him from the best breakdowns on Twitter. It's Brian Baldinger. Baldy, thank you so much for some time today.
Thanks. I'll just enjoy the shameless promotion right there. Thanks for having me, guys. Brian and Al, good to be with you. I mean, obviously, that was a beatdown on Monday night. I couldn't really start it any better against a pretty quality team.
And we are chomping at the bit to ask you offensive line questions because we didn't think the Niners O-line would look anything like that in week one, but it looked great. But I wanted to start out with a Purdy question for you. So Brock statistically had a pretty low-key game, 19 for 29, 231 yards, no TDs. When you look at the film, his PFF score was 89.6. He's fifth in the NFL in QBR. And on your breakdown, one of the things you wrote in Twitter was about his control and understanding of the offense. Can you talk a little bit about what you saw from Purdy in week one?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously they ran the football really effectively. So, I mean, that was a big emphasis. It's a very talented secondary. I mean, Sauce and DJ, I mean, they know DJ. They drafted him. I mean, you know, and it's talented. And so, and Brandon Ayuk didn't, you know, play or practice throughout the entire offseason. So you just kind of are a little concerned about the timing right there. You know, and Trent wasn't out there. So, you know, what kind of conditioning would he have? So I don't think you can just cut it loose and just, you know, bombs away. That's not what they do anyways. But I feel like they did a great job of in just all of their manipulation with their pre-snap motions and their shifts of really freezing a very talented linebacking core of C.J. Mosley and Quincy Williams. They're very good. There's Fred and, you know, that group in San Francisco, but they're right there. They're very good. And they look completely frozen. They didn't attack the line of scrimmage the way they normally do. I think they were a little unsure of themselves. And so, I mean, that's a lot of that is a quarterback. He doesn't have to wow you every game. The offense scored on 8 straight possessions. That's almost impossible to do in this league. 8 straight possessions they scored. Would you like a touchdown? I mean, they threw a touchdown to Ayuk. He got to catch it. But I thought he was under control. I thought they attacked the middle of the field. Those are layered throws in the middle of the field. They're not always easy. A lot of those throws with the quarterback before here used to get intercepted. He doesn't. I thought he had complete understanding of what they were trying to do.
Yeah, and you know, Al touched on it. You know, we're pretty excited to talk O-line with you because, you know, all through this offseason, at least on this podcast, but, you know, in 49er land and 49er fans in general, you know, there was a real concern about the offensive line, the lack of taking a tackle early, which is something that fans wanted, you know, an upgrade at right tackle. The 49ers drafted Dominic Pooney in the third round, who played tackle at Kansas. But when they drafted him, they said, you know, we're looking at him at guard. And then Feliciano gets hurt in training camp, and Pooney steps in, starts taking reps with the ones, and just hasn't really relinquished that. And he looked phenomenal on Monday night. Just absolutely looked like he'd been, you know, in the league for 5 years. You know, he's taken on double teams. He's throwing dudes to the ground. The question I have for you about Pooney, outside of, you know, what you thought of his play, which I've seen some of the breakdowns. I know you're high on him. My question is this: again, 49er fans are concerned about Colton McKivitz at right tackle, and there's also some concern about Jake Brendel at center. With Pooney at right guard, and a play, his play as consistent as it was in week one, and as good as it was in week one, does that kind of also elevate just the guys next to him as well? Like, is Pooney's presence going to make this line a strength, even though they could use some upgrades at center and right tackle?
Absolutely. I mean, he's making everybody around him better. I mean, in fact, you know, the Jets tested him on Monday night in one particular play, but more than just one. I mean, they put C.J. Mosley over your center. They had an end outside of McKivitz, and they put Quinnen Williams on him. And it was basically guaranteed a one-on-one. Now, Quinnen Williams wins most of his one-on-ones. I don't care who he goes against. Mm-hmm. He destroys every offensive lineman in Buffalo when he gets a one-on-one. And they did it, and Pooney just stood tall, anchored down, and he got a little push on him, but he didn't beat him. In fact, I've watched every snap preseason on Monday night. He hasn't been beat yet. Doesn't have a bad snap yet. And so I did his breakdown on him. His head coach at Kansas reached out to me, and he just said, you know, he appreciated the love and all that. But, you know, he went to Kansas after being at a D2 school, and he's played up.
Right.
But he has an amazing ability. I mean, first of all, he's must be really smart. He takes really good angles in the run game when he gets to second level. He never seems surprised by anything, stunts, twists, blitzes. He never seems surprised by anything. You know, I mean, look, Javon Kinlaw is you know what Kinlaw is at this point. He's Sally. I mean, you know what all these guys are, the Jets throughout there. I mean, they're not great players. They're rotational players. He'd had no problem with any of them. He makes everybody around him better right now. And, you know, the ball's either going to be run behind Trent or it's going to be behind Pooney right now. That's where it's going. He, you know, like Aaron is a very solid left guard, very solid, especially playing next to Trent. They play very well together. I feel like they've upgraded the entire right side of the line with Pooney.
Were you shocked Trent was as good as he was, considering he had about a week of practice? Or did you just expect it's Trent Williams? I'm not surprised.
You know, he's got techniques that only he does. They never leave you, his techniques. I mean, whether it's slapping guys' arms down or cutting off of the backside. I guess the question, you know, he looked like he was pretty gassed at the end when he went out.
Yeah.
It's just going to be the conditioning level. And look, the old, you know, cliche, fatigue makes cowards of us all. It's just true. Like, I mean, I think he's got a warrior spirit. But, you know, I just didn't know the volume of plays because they were on the field a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, the run, you know, I mean, they took it to the Jets. They broke their sword. Mason finished these runs. Yeah, that, you know, I was just curious about just the conditioning level. But, you know, obviously if he's hanging out there in Longview, Texas, he was doing more than bass fishing out there. Like he was doing some kind of work.
You know, Mason had such a strong game, and I thought he was the story of the game. But we've seen over and over again how good it seems like almost any running back can be in this Kyle Shanahan system. When you're watching fifth game tape, Mason was incredible. What did you see from Mason, and what did you see from Kyle in terms of what he was dialing up play design-wise to get Mason space?
Well, two things. One, he had 28 runs. He wasn't knocked backward once. So the guy has got a forward lean, and he's got a finishing touch. Like, he punishes defenders. You look at those Jets defenders in the fourth quarter versus the first quarter, like, they weren't looking to get in his way in the fourth quarter. They just weren't. That's number one. Number two, I mean, honestly, I mean, I've stripped this thing down so many different ways, but Kyle runs five plays in the run game. Now, it looks different with a lot of motions and shifts and formations and all the stuff that they can do. They basically run five plays. They run an outside zone, an inside zone. They run a power. They run a wind back. You know, I mean, they run a toss. I mean, it's basically five plays. But and when you strip it all down, that's kind of what you're focusing on. But, you know, those linebackers are frozen. Guys were getting out of their gaps. If you don't have perfect run fits, then they're going to make you pay. I just remember one game years ago, not that long ago, Ron Rivera was a head coach in Carolina. Luke Kuechly came to town, and they ran for about 230 against the Carolina Panthers, and I broke it down. Mm-hmm. There were five plays where Luke Kuechly was not blocked, and he wasn't anywhere near the play. I mean, that's Kyle. That's Kyle at his best. And I don't know if you guys get a chance to go out there to practice with Kyle, but it's not nice. It's not friendly. It's hard. He learned it from Alex. His dad learned it from Alex Gibbs. I know Alex Gibbs. It all comes from Alex. Like, that was a drill sergeant every day to make sure – And when you watch them play, how they chip the end with Kittle, and here comes Juice to clean up. I mean, you just freeze some of these runs halfway through it, and you realize they've got the perfect angle, the position. I mean, they're beating the defense at every single position, including the receivers, and if the fullback or tight ends are in.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this blocking scheme, and again, if we go back to the O-line, you know, they're executing blocks that tend to be pretty difficult for a lot of offensive linemen, reach blocks, things of that nature. And when they drafted Pooney, you know, one of the things they talked about was, you know, he didn't allow a pressure in his entire career in the NCAA, whether that be at Kansas or like you said, he started at D2. But the question was going to be, you know, where is he in the run game? And that was some of the struggles that other rookies have had coming in. I saw him execute at least three reach blocks where it was like, it's like teach tape. And I guess the question is, you know, Chris Foerster is the offensive line coach there. How difficult is it to teach that to players like Pooney and rookies? Or do you feel like it's just, you know, if you've got the athletic ability, and again, Pooney had a superior short area quickness drills at the combine. Him and Jarrett Kingston, I think, had two of the quickest three cones among offensive linemen. Is it more about athletic ability, or is there a lot of technique that he has just picked up quickly?
Now, he's a wide body. You know, he takes up a lot of space. One thing I think they're going to do, I'm going to answer your question here, Bri, but The one thing I think you're going to see is, like, they've always been able to scheme runs. That's good. But now I think with Pooney, they're actually able to displace the line of scrimmage, move guys off the ball. Like, you're going to see the way Trent can and Banks can on that side. That's why they're a very left-handed team. They move bodies. You know, Kittle is obviously a great blocker. But I think with Pooney at the point, against three techniques and maybe one techniques, and you're talking about reach blocking and cutoff and all that stuff, cutoff blocks are as important as front side blocks. I think you're going to see maybe even a more power style of runs with him in there right now. He's better than Burford. He's better than Feliciano. Yeah. It's not even close. And I'm not to disparage those guys. It's a huge upgrade. You know, if you're a three technique defensive tackle, you're in the three technique because you're not allowed to get hooked. That's right. It. Like, the play's got to come inside. Just by your initial stance, you can't get right. Hooked. Like, I show a play like that to Warren Sapp and he pukes. You know, like, he can't be normal in a conversation when he sees that. But, you know, that's your maybe those drills at the combine transfer, but his first step quickness and the angles that he takes, he's not stepping in a bucket. He gets within a step. You know, he's a very good athlete. He's never on the ground. Yeah, it's impressive. It's impressive how he, you know, gets to those angles like that.
You know, Baldy, with the Niners, we're obviously thinking about getting back to the Super Bowl here and finishing the job. But I think the NFC is going to be tough this season. What teams besides the Niners, you know, in terms of hierarchy, do you think are going to be there at the end? Who other than them do you think are maybe the best two or three other teams in the NFC?
Well, I mean, you've got to play this out. Teams are going to improve. I mean, Tampa is a good football team. They're going to play.
Yeah.
You know, they play Detroit this week. It's going to be a great game. Detroit, the Rams, was a great game. You watch Detroit in overtime. They went 70 yards in eight plays, and seven of them were runs. They ran the ball right down the Rams' throats. You know, I mean, this Kevin Zeitler at right guard, I mean, he's as big and strong and smart as they come. And he's been doing it everywhere he goes for a dozen years. And you put him next to Penei Sewell, good luck. Like, they're both good teams. The Rams are, like, the Rams are all beat up. They've got a backup to a backup to a backup at left tackle, you know, at right tackle. They just lost, you know, a really good left guard for a month. They're gonna be there. You know, they're gonna answer the bell. The Eagles are a very talented team. We gotta see what they look like defensively. But you know, we gotta see, you know, how some of these young guys develop. And that's with a lot of teams, you know, which young guys can Minnesota sustain what we saw them do with Sam Darnold? They played very good on the off. Now, they played the Giants, but their offense line, Darisaw, the group, they played very well up front. And Aaron Jones looks like Aaron Jones. So, and Brian Flores is as talented as anybody. You're going to see it this week. I don't think the 49ers are going to have trouble, but they're a talented defense because of what they're capable of doing. But I think there's a lot of competition out there. Detroit, the Rams, Philadelphia. Dallas was so much faster than Cleveland. It wasn't even – like, you don't even have to know anything about football. You don't even have to know anything about football. Just watch the game and say which team is faster everywhere. And Dallas's defense was faster than Cleveland at every turn.
Do you feel like Mike Zimmer is an upgrade as the defensive coordinator in Dallas over Dan Quinn, or at least what Dan Quinn was running over the last couple of years there?
Well, I mean, under Dan Quinn, they led the entire National Football League in takeaways over 3 years. Like, you give Kyle Shanahan the leader in takeaways, I mean, they're going to break records in scoring points. So, I mean, that stat is better than any other stat, leading the league in takeaways. I mean, that's a credit to Dan. Now, Mike coaches totally different than Dan. Like, he coaches hard. He comes from the Bill Parcells school of coaching. Right. I don't believe he softened at all, but they played a rookie corner out there in Kalen Carson. He did a pretty good imitation of Deion Sanders out there last Sunday. I mean, he's a fifth-round pick out of Wake Forest, but man, did he play well against Cleveland.
Baldy, thanks so much for the time. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy the game this weekend. You owe those Vikings one now. After what
it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while in Minnesota. All right, Baldy, we appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Anytime. Bye-bye.